World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, more, I'm trying to get my pen. I love my wife. I gotta want to tell you that. This for said it to her before I came down here again. Because you know, she's lived with me through an unbelievable transition. I was a sports nut, football coach and all that stuff, and now I'm a Jesus nut. And more than a Jesus nut, I'm a salt and light nut. I can't get away from that stuff. And she's constantly there cleaning up after me and picking up and doing things that I've ignored and done because I'm I hate to tell you this, man. I'm consumed by it. Look, I'm trying to get my pen out. Right as we kick off right now, here's what I need all of you to do. Okay. We're trying to organize. God bless Glenn. Thanks, Glenn, for taking it off my plate. We're trying to organize, particularly right now, an Ohio gathering and just an email list of people who are watching this show who live in Ohio. And what I would like you to do is just email me. If you live in Ohio, just email me your email list. We're not going to bug you. We're not going to for money. None of that kind of stuff. But we need to update our Ohio list because we're getting ready to do some things in here. So if you would do that for me today, if you live in Ohio, email me your email, all right? And send it to ptsalt@gmail.com. Can you put that someplace, Spencer, where they'll see that? Ptsalt, because some of my emails, I don't know what the heck happened. They don't always get to me. ptsalt@gmail.com. Just send me your email. That's really all I need to do. Put your name on it. It would help. You say Betty Perkins and here, that would help. Because we're trying to formulate. We want to help all of you plug in, be involved, do whatever you want to do. You don't have to be part of it, whatever. But we want to try to help our communication a little bit. We really need to do that probably for other states, but it's really imperative that we do that here. Hey, I saw something. I got really good stuff. I want to hang with you today, okay? Thank you, Spencer. There's my email. Just send me your email. That's all I need. And then we'll get it compiled and do whatever we have to do with it. ptsalt@gmail.com. If you're in Ohio, send me your email, okay? Something staggering today. Silver's at 60, I'm pushing $62. Right now, silver's pushing $62. And I came across something that I couldn't believe. Spencer pulled up. Who owns gold and silver? I don't care where you get it. Get some metals. What number of Americans own silver and gold right now? Huh? What do you think? The average person you're hanging out with ain't got any idea. Right now, they say about 10.8%, I think, on some type of metals. 11.6% of Americans, 11.6% of respondents said they owned silver and gold. It was 10, folks. That means of every 10 people you come across, only one has any idea. Only one of them has any idea of what's happening in the metals because they want to get you into the stock market and annuities and all. Okay, look, I'm trying to take care of you, man. That's all. You are ahead of the crowd. You're ahead of the crowd, okay? So just want you to know that it's going to probably go to the moon. Thank you, Betty. I'm getting emails popping in here already. Appreciate that. That's good. Okay, Spencer, here's what, oh man. Pull up number one. This is where I want to go right now. Hey, somebody help me out there. What's the theme here, Coach Dave? What's the theme? See how good a student you are.
Who told you that and why do you believe it?
Who told you that and why do you believe it? Who told you that and why do you believe it? Okay. I'm going to show you why, Oh God, I got some great stuff today. Wait a minute. Is it okay if I tell you the truth? Can I tell you the truth? And then if you want to leave, you can leave. I'm going to tell you the truth. And then you do what you want to do. Do what you want to do with it. Okay. Bring up number one. Number one. I want to kick off here this morning. 2 Thessalonians, which was written, by the way. Does anybody know when 2 Thessalonians was written? 51 AD, they think. Maybe 52 AD.
One of Paul's first letters, Coach.
51 AD. 51 AD, okay? The Apostle Paul tells us, "Now we beseech you, brothers, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, by the gathering together unto him, that you soon not..." This is 51 AD. 51. "That you be not so soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by the Spirit, nor by the word, nor by letter from us, as that day of Christ is at hand." By the way, at hand means imminent, at hand. "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." What? By the way, Betty, when was this written again? Was this written last week? Was this written by some 19th century, 20th century prophet? No, this is written by the Apostle Paul in 51 AD. "There come away falling first, and that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." Somebody help me out here. I don't know if he's talking about end time, or is he talking about current time? That does matter. Right, stay with me. "Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is God, or is worshipped, so that he's sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." Talking about a false Christ. Is it a false Christ or is it a false belief system? What is it? Remember I told you guys this? AD 51. Remember I told you this? "And now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity is already at work." Hey, somebody help me again. When was this? 51 AD. Okay, "For the mystery of iniquity is already at work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way." I think it's talking about the Holy Spirit there. I'm not sure, but that'd be my... And then when the Holy Spirit's taken out of the way, somebody help me with my English here. "For the mystery of iniquity already at work. Only he who now letteth will let until the Holy Spirit be taken away." When was this? 85. Thank you. "And then, after the Holy Spirit's removed..." Anybody think the Holy Spirit's been removed yet? Anybody think the Holy Spirit's been removed from America yet, from the world yet? I don't think so. "And then," when? After the Holy Spirit's taken out of the way. "Whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him who coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, and then that perish because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved." Okay, hang on. Betty, when was this? Gene, when was this? Gene?
51 AD.
51 AD. It wasn't written last week by some prophet on huh? Somebody didn't get a revelation two weeks ago? No, okay. And then what's going to happen? God's going to, for this cause, what cause? Because we gave over to deceivableness and of unrighteousness. We gave over to that. We didn't love the truth anymore. God says, okay, I'll give over to a strong delusion. They should believe a lie. Hey, Spence, real quickly, what's a delusion? What does Webster say a delusion is? A lot of us are under delusion. Sorry. I lived under a delusion. Delusion is false representation, illusion, error or mistake proceeding from false views. False views. So go back there, Spencer. I don't know who, but somebody's under a delusion. Anybody read that any differently than me? "For this cause," what cause? "Because we receive not the love of the truth." God sends a strong delusion. Who sends a strong delusion? The devil? No, God sends it. God sends a delusion. That's why I have 42,000 different denominations. 42,000 different denominations. Why? Because there's a strong delusion. "That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in righteousness." Unrighteousness, I'm sorry. By the way, who would be all them that might be damned who believe not the truth? Would that be the Muslims? Would that be the Astros? Would that be the Would that be the Jews? But they all might be damned who believe not the truth. Sorry, I'm just reading. When was this written again? Somebody help me out. When was this written?
51 AD.
Yeah, thank you. See, some people want to go home right now because they don't want to hear the truth. Why? Because Scott's in a strong delusion. They don't want to hear the truth. But we're bound to give thanks always to God. Scrolling down, Spencer. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and the belief of the truth. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hang on, somebody help me here. 42,000 different denominations. Are all of them true? Are all of their beliefs true? They can't possibly be. They don't all believe the same thing. Somebody's got it wrong. And why? Because they received not the love of the truth. God sends a strong delusion. You think, huh? Therefore, brother, stand fast and hold the traditions which you've been taught, whether by word or our epistles. So what we're seeing is that, by the way, folks, this strong delusion, this confusion is the judgment of God. Did you see that? For this cause, God sends a strong delusion. Why? We rejected the truth. Okay, I'm going somewhere. This is good stuff. I'll bet you. At the end of the day, I'm going to send everybody who knew this before today's show, I will send you all a dime. No, I won't, because it cost me 78 cents to mail it. So I probably won't do that. I'd like to send you a dime. If I see you face to face, I'll give you a dime, okay? You ready? Pull up number four. It said, no, I'm sorry. Four end time theories. Did you guys know this? Did you know that there are four distinct end time theories? And that we all say that we love the truth. Bible says it, I believe it, and that settles it. But look at this. If you grew up watching Left Behind movies between rounds of Foursquare, chances are your idea of the end times was vivid. Maybe they were charts. Maybe Kirk Cameron showed up. Maybe you were convinced a barcode scanner was the mark of the beast. But as more young Christians dig deeper into the scripture, they're realizing that it's not just one way to read the book of Revelation. In fact, throughout church history, theologians have held multiple, very different interpretations of how the world ends on Christ's return, and each one is rooted in a sincere attempt to make sense of scripture. I want to tell you right now, some of you may want to leave right now because you're not going to like you're just not going to like it. So if you don't, okay, I gave you a warning. So if your only exposure to the end times involves 7 years of tribulation and a suspicious one world government, here's a breakdown of the four major end times views most commonly accepted by Christians today. By the way, you can believe these and still be a Christian. Are they all true? Can they all be true? No. Can you be a Christian and believe these? Yes. Could you be wrong? Yes. So here they are, because I didn't know it, so I'll put a dime in there. Here are the four end time views. First one is called dispensational premillennialism. By the way, popularized by the late great Planet Earth, Hal Lindsey. Maybe Hal Lindsey. Should Hal Lindsey and Tim LaHaye, should they have addendums in the Bible? Should we have the book of Tim LaHaye and the book of, what's his name? Hal Lindsey, should we have addendums? So dispensational premillennialism sees the end times unfolding in a highly structured sequence of events and hinges on a literal reading of Revelation and sharp distinction between Israel and the church. Okay, so here's how it plays out. Secret rapture happens, 7-year tribulation period. Christ returns in glory to defeat evil. He reigns on earth for 1,000 years, and Satan is released and judged and thrown in the lake of fire. And dispensationalists also use Daniel's 70 weeks prophecy to justify the 7-year tribulation and interpret Revelation as a chronological roadmap of future events. Okay, boom. That is one view. Hang on. Millions of Christians believe that. Millions. However, millions of Christians also believe historic premillennialism. Anybody ever heard this? Come on. Could you do it? Could you do an exegesis in your Bible study on this? There are millions of Christians who believe in historic premillennialism, which popularized by, early church fathers like Irenaeus and Justin Martyr, but more recently by theologians like George Eldon Ladd. Do you understand these are men giving us interpretations? Do you understand that? So historic premillennialism shares similarities with the dispensational view, namely that Jesus returns before a literal millennium. However, it lacks the idea of a secret rapture. So historical premillennialism sort of lines up with millennialism. However, one of them's got a rapture and the other doesn't have a rapture. So here's how it outlined. In historic premillennialism, the church remains on earth during a period of suffering and tribulation. Jesus visibly returns and resurrects believers. Christ reigns for 1,000 years on earth along with his saints. And after Satan's final rebellion, judgment follows and the new heavens and the new earth are established. This view tends to see Revelation as a mix of future prophecy and symbolic encouragement to persecuted Christians, especially those in the early church under Roman rule. Come on now. You didn't know all these, did you? You didn't know all these. And every one of these people think they're right. That's why people leave Coach Dave Live. Because I'm honest enough to tell you, I don't know what I believe. Okay, I don't know what I believe. Okay, so then they have what's called amillennialism. Amillennialism. That was popularized by Augustine, Martin Luther. That'd be some pretty good guys there, wouldn't it? That'd be some pretty good guys to believe. Rather than Tim LaHaye. Would you stake more on Martin Luther or Tim LaHaye?
Luther.
Amillennialists believe the millennium in Revelation 20 is not a literal 100,000-year reign, but a symbolic period representing the current church age. In their view, the reign of Christ is happening now through the church and in heaven. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Here's how it breaks down. This is an amillennial view. By the way, you can be a Christian on your way to heaven and believe amillennialism. You might just miss the bus, but you can believe it. It's not a salvation issue. You're still saved. Revelation 20 symbolizes Christ's spiritual this is what they believe, okay? Revelation 21:1-6 symbolizes Christ's spiritual reign from his resurrection on to his return. Satan is currently bound in the sense that he cannot stop the spread of the gospel. The first resurrection refers to the souls of believers reigning with Christ in heaven. At the end of this present age, Christ will return, resurrect all people, and execute final judgment, and a new heaven and a new earth will be established. Amillennials take a more symbolic, literary approach to Revelation, seeing much of it as apocalyptic imagery designed to convey spiritual truths rather than literal future events. Hey, Gene, can you be an amillennialist and be a mainstream Christian? The answer is yes.
Yeah,
you can. Yeah, you can do that. By the way, Spencer, scroll up. Can I be a Christian and believe, what was number two again, Spencer? Can I be a Christian and believe in historical premillennial? Yeah, I can. Can I be a Christian and believe in dispensational premillennial? Yeah, I can. So I have 42,000 different denominations because a lot of it has to do with this. And then number four, hang on a minute. Somebody say, Coach, I never knew this. I never really knew this, Coach. Come on, somebody say it. Be honest.
I did not know this.
Okay, thank you, Betty. I feel better. So postmillennialism was popularized by Jonathan Edwards. What? Did Jonathan Edwards know more than Tim LaHaye? Would Tim LaHaye know more than Jonathan Edwards? I don't know. Charles Finney? Jonathan Edwards? They believed in postmillennialism? By the way, most of you don't even know what the hell postmillennialism is. Bible says that I believe that settles it. Then why do we have all this? Postmillennialism is built on the belief that Christ will return after the millennium, a future golden age when the gospel is spread throughout the world and transformed society. Here's how the postmillennial view looks. Through evangelism, missions, and societal reform, the world gradually improves God's expanding his kingdom. The era of gospel prosperity, possibly lasting 1,000 years, constitutes the millennial reign of Christ. Wow. And after this period, Jesus returns for the final judgment and resurrection. And eternity begins with a new creation. Many postmillennials interpret Old Testament prophecies about the nations turning to God as literal outcomes of gospel influence, not just spiritual metaphors. Okay, so here we go. Who's right? Who's right? This depends on who you ask. Christians have been wrestling with these three interpretations for centuries. Each theory tries to make sense of Revelation, Daniel, Matthew 24, and other prophetic passages, all of which are rich in symbolism, metaphor, and cultural context. What matters more than decoding timelines is remembering what all of these views affirm. All of them affirm Jesus will return, evil will be defeated, and God will renew the world. They all three believe on those things. So you see, the end times aren't about fear or speculation. They're about a faithful God keeping his promises, whether you imagine the return of Christ as dramatic intervention, a slow transformation, or something else entirely. The central message remains the same, that hope in Christ wins. Okay? Now, here's the point I'm making. This divides the church. The church divided over these things. And everyone, I told you that. And why do you believe it? Let's go up, Spencer. Real slow here. In fact, let's start at the top and go down, Spencer, real quickly. Ask yourself this. In order to believe dispensational premillennialism, in order to believe it, you have to think of Tim LaHaye and Hal Lindsey, the prophets. And go down to number two, the early church fathers like Justin Martyr and Irenaeus, they were wrong. And not only were they wrong, the amillennialists like Augustine, like Martin Luther, he wasn't as smart as Tim LaHaye and Hal Lindsey. And Hal Lindsey and Tim LaHaye were smarter than Jonathan Edwards, Charles Finney. This exposes, hey, Betty, who told you that and why do you believe it? 42,000 different denominations. Okay, pick up your toes because I'm about to kick you in the, about to step on them. Let me see. Okay, I hate to do this too. Take a deep breath. Bye-bye, some of you. Bye-bye, some of you. Pull up number two. Pull up number two. This is 4 minutes. Play it. Start at the beginning.
U.S. Ambassador Mike Huckabee explained the heart of the commissioning.
You're not an ambassador for the state of Israel. Nobody's asking you to take on a political role. In fact, I don't recommend it. You got enough trouble being a pastor. You sure don't need to get into this business.
Hang on. Let me set the stage here. I'm sorry. Bye-bye to some of you who are mad at me already. Somebody paid for 1,000 pastors to go to Israel to make sure they knew Israel first. That's what Mike Huckabee. 1,000 pastors. Go ahead.
I would say you're an ambassador for Christ, his kingdom, and his word.
Reverend Johnny Moore said this gathering marks a defining moment.
So this is an army of pastors, 1,000 pastors, the largest group of pastors at one time that has ever come to Israel specifically.
I wonder if any of those guys have ever been to an abortion clinic. You think any of these 1,000 pastors who got a free trip to Israel, think any of them ever stepped outside of an abortion clinic? Keep playing it.
For one purpose, to stand in solidarity with the Jewish state and the people of Israel.
He put it in historical perspective.
I believe every generation has a test. One generation had to face the test of the trains going to Auschwitz. Another generation of the Jews in the Soviet Union crying for help. Our generation is facing a resurgence of anti-Semitism in our schools,
Freeze it. Folks, listen. Anti-Semitism means you question the narrative. That's what anti-Semitism has become. I question the narrative. By the way, was I allowed to question, what was that guy's name? Huh? His pastors were allowed to, was I allowed to question any of Jonathan Edwards? Am I allowed to question him? Go ahead.
Both of our politicians, ubiquitous in media. There isn't a Jewish community in the United States of America that hasn't faced it. This is our moment. The question is whether we will rise to the occasion. And I can tell you from leaving this room a few minutes ago, we're going to rise to the occasion. We will not let this evil win this time.
Israeli leaders encouraged the pastors to be bold and express gratitude for their support.
Stand up and be counted. Tell the truth. Speak to young people. Speak up and be counted. I'm counting on you, and I know you'll do what has to be done. That's what our destiny calls for.
This is not just Israel's fight. This is a fight for civilization. We are facing very much a civilizational struggle like we saw in the 30s between Nazism and the free world. Today, that Nazism is Islamism.
Folks, this is so much propaganda. I'm sorry, this is so much propaganda. I'm going to tell you this. Christianity is more under assault than Judaism. Keep going.
Coordination with communism, which today's expression is called woke, but it's the same thing.
Behind the scenes, Shira Mills of the Friends of Zion Museum helped make the summit possible.
Never been done before. This is something very unique, very difficult, but here we are. From my point of view, it's miraculous.
The vision going forward, recruiting 10,000 more pastors in the next 36 months.
Because there's a lot of
information. Did you hear
that?
Freeze that. Recruiting 10,000 more pastors. What? In abortion? To get gay marriage out of our school? To get transgenderism out of the schools? They're going to recruit 10,000 more pastors. Who's paying for this? Go ahead.
A lot of young people that are not for Israel, and they're just getting the wrong information. So our whole idea here is to reach the youth of America and around the world and just show the truth.
One of the most moving moments came from Daniel Leshinsky, whose son Yaron was murdered, along with his fiancée Sarah Milgram, in Washington, D.C. earlier this year.
Freeze it. Hey, folks. They're murdering Christians all across the globe. All across the globe, they're murdering Christians. Go ahead.
My message is to pay attention that anti-Semitism is a problem for all of us, not only for the Jewish people, not only for the Israelis, but also for the pastors in the U.S., for the church. Anti-Semitism, we know that it's a demon, it's a power, it's a spiritual power that is going first against the Jewish people and then against all the people of God.
One of the last events of the Ambassador Summit was here on the Mount of Olives, where more than 1,000 pastors came to overlook the city and pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
Hang on. Can we get those 1,000 pastors to Planned Parenthood? Huh? Could we get those 1,000 pastors to the school board? Something wrong here, folks. Go ahead.
The 1,000 pastors gathered at such a critical moment for the nation of Israel, when anti-Semitism is rising in our nation and globally, this has been such a pivotal turning point. I believe we can turn the tide of anti-Semitism.
1,000 pastors and leaders that didn't even know each other. And he called and we heard the word of the Lord. And this is a season to see anti-Semitism defeated and to see God's glory come to his chosen people.
Chris Mitchell, CBN News, the Mount of Olives,
folks, I'm going to open it up. I got more. I'm just going to open it up. I don't know anybody that hates Jews. I don't know anybody who hates Jews. Anti-Semitism? What are they trying to feed us here? What are they trying to feed us? They would take 1,000 pastors, and then they want 10,000 more pastors. Something amiss here. Something amiss. Come on in, Brett.
Hey, good morning, Coach. Good morning, team. Hey, they won't even do a flag wave for Team Jesus on their local street corner, let alone get busy. These guys aren't whosoever's. What an abomination.
Brett, there's a strong delusion. God sends strong delusion. God sends the strong delusion. They would believe a lie. Now, look, stop. I'm not anti-Jew. I'm not anti-Israel. I'm America first, right? Are these guys here, these 1,000 pastors, are they concerned about America? The issues we're dealing with in America? Or have they taken their hands off and said, we don't mix religion and politics here. You tell me this isn't politics? You tell me this isn't politics? Who's leading it? Mike Huckabee? What? Come on in, Adam.
Hey, Coach, these people mislead by using the word anti-Semite. Right. But the Jews that are over there aren't even Semites.
They're not even Semites.
But the Palestinians are, and the Arabs are, but yet they've turned anti-Semite into anti-Jew. It's all a lie to scare people into obedience and into surrender.
Strong delusion. God sends a strong delusion if they believe a lie. Worship and serve the creature rather than the creator. I'm going to tell you this. I hate to tell you this. The Jews do not worship Jesus Christ, folks. They oppose him.
They reject him harshly, sir.
Yes, they do. Come on in, Craig.
Well, my part wouldn't be necessarily with the other part about the pastors. All pastors should be.
I got your thing up here today. I'm going to try to get to it here.
Let me
come back to that, okay?
Yeah, that's okay. But we can't go to Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians 2 until we go through Thessalonians chapter 1. Spencer, pull that up for me. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. New King James.
2 Thessalonians chapter 1.
And let's pick up with verse 4, okay? So I'm going to read it from my Bible because it's easier to see, Coach.
Okay,
so it says, that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God. And remember, there were 7 churches in the book of Revelations. And this was written in 51 AD, you're correct. For the patience and faith of all the persecutions and tribulations that you endure. So obviously they've been having tribulations and they have patience, which manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God that may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer, since it's a righteous thing with God to repay. Now, God's getting ready to repay with tribulation those who trouble you. So God's coming back to repay and give you who are troubled rest. Well, when have we gotten rest yet from this? We haven't. With us, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven. Well, wait a minute. This is 51 AD. He's already gone down and gone back up with his mighty angels. So now he's coming with his mighty angels, according to this. In flaming fire to do what? Take vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Wow.
Okay, so he says he's coming back to do that on God, which is probably the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but also those who don't know the gospel of Christ. There shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord, not us, them, and with the glory of his power. So now we're going to have his power is going to be glorious when he comes in the day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among those who believe because our testimony among you is believed.
Craig, what are they supposed to believe, Craig?
Well, that's saying that he's coming to give tribulation to those who don't believe, and he's coming with his angels. And then chapter 2 goes on to expand on that concept, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And if you don't, and I would just say you don't have to do it now, but for those in here, I'll put it in here. Go read Isaiah chapter 11, because it talks about a time when the wolf's going to be dwelling with the lamb and the calf and the young lion. They're going to be sitting down and a child's going to be leading them. That hasn't happened. And what it does do, it says on verse 10 of chapter 11 in Isaiah 11, it says, and in that day there shall be a root of Jesse This is Christ. But chapter 11, Isaiah, is talking about the millennial reign of Christ. So it's line by line, precept by precept, here a little bit, there a little bit. That's how you got to read some of this, Coach. Yeah. You'll find out, though.
42,000 different denominations, five views of the end times. Bible says it. I believe it. That settles it. What a lie that is. Come on in, Jeff.
Coach, I remember maybe 12, 15 years ago, Pastor Bill Dunphy said, he said, you know what? He said, rather than, because back then we were doing all that traveling all over the United States, state after state after state, sharing the gospel, taking it out, hitting the streets. He said, rather than running all over the countryside, he said, I think the Lord would have us do something right here in our own community. If we can't do it in our own community, why run all over the United States?
That's right.
So here's these pastors, 1,000 of them, heading over here, doing this trip. Well, if they go to the abortion clinic or the school board meeting, the people in their church are going to think, what is the matter with you?
That's right.
Are you doing this? But yet now they can get up there and say, look at these pictures, this strip of 1,000. We were there. We were with these pastors. They'll love that.
Jeff, somebody help me out here, and you know, you can leave if you want. It is, to the American Christian, is Israel an idol? Is it an idol?
Very close,
murdering
Coach.
Babies, and the church doesn't want anything to do with the fact that they're murdering babies. Look, the Lord's going to take care of those who are His. The United States doesn't have to do
it's an idol.
The United States doesn't have to take care of the Lord. He'll take care of His own. He'll take care of His own. And we are so off focus with the gospel. If we really believe the end times, everybody would quit their work. And they'd be out in the streets 24/7 trying to get people saved. If we really believed it. We don't really believe it because why? See, that requires you to change your behavior. I'll bet you this, going back to the flood, by the way, thanks for all of the people that are still supporting them. I'll put that back up there in a second. I wonder if a lot of warnings went out that the flood's coming, flood's coming, flood's coming, flood's coming. And then did they just say the flood's coming, or did they go out and try to rescue people? And we're facing what people believe to be the end of days, and ain't nobody trying to rescue nobody.
Boom, Coach.
They're hunkering down, hoping to get raptured out of here. Heaven forbid they'd have to get their hands dirty. Huh? Now, I'm see all of you. See ya. Just telling you the truth. Come on, Randy.
Yeah, Coach, I'm just going to tie it up a little bit tighter, if you don't mind. These are the same people who won't engage here at home. I mean, I'm just saying this a different way, okay?
Yes.
So
they're not America first. Randy, they're not America first. They're Israel first.
They are. That's right, Coach. And I understand why. I understand their theology. I was one of them at one time, okay? Hey, I don't condemn them. I don't condemn any of these people.
No.
I'm just saying you got to ask yourself the question, why won't they stand up for the Christians who were murdered in Palestine? And how about the Christians in Israel? How many are there? I mean, why are they so friendly all of a sudden, Coach?
How about they demand Israel stop killing Christians?
Triple boom.
So, Coach, the conflict of interest should question, everyone should question it. I don't care what your theology or eschatology is. You should question this narrative that's coming forward out of this. Why now? And why, you know, why target good, strong Christian people who are targeted because they say they're anti-Semitic? I'm not anti-Semitic at all, Coach. I'm anti-evil.
You know what
I'm anti-evil. That's period. I don't care what color your skin is. I don't care if you're a male or a female. I don't care if you're black or white, what nation you're in. I don't care. If you're evil, I'm against you.
Amen, brother. Amen. Amen. Huh? Folks, come on. Can't you see it? Can't you see it? Racism, anti-Semitism, all of that stuff. They tell you who you're allowed to criticize. You can criticize a Christian all day long. Huh? Oh, all day long. You can criticize Christians. Come on, Dale.
So if Spence, you'll go to Amos 8:11. And this right here, Coach, is the problem with the church in America. America, you know, American Christianity is a disease, and don't catch it, because if you catch it, You'll be listen. I love the American church, but we talk against it, right? Because of that. Okay, so let me read this. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor of thirst of water, but of the hearing of the words of the Lord.
Wow.
Coach, that is the problem boom. That we face today. Because
triple boom.
If you go to any one of these big mega churches, they will use a hint of scripture, right? Like a hint of scripture, and then they go on a 30-minute emotional tangent. And so the hearing of God's word today, and then coach, there's those who read it, but they're not hearing it. They're not getting it. You know, the word of God is spiritual and they do not understand it. And so it is not the people of Israel. It is what the government is doing. It's not the people of America. It's what our government does. I mean, what Randy just said, I don't care who you are or where you live. If you are evil, right? If you are evil, man, you need salvation. That's what you need. And so, coach, that is the problem. And so when we can get the pastors, right, when we can get them locked and loaded on this, and it's never the issue with theology and eschatology are a world apart. Theology should be secured, and that is the knowing of God, the salvation of God. Our eschatology, coach, I don't care what you think. I do know this. Without repentance, there is no forgiveness of sin. Without the forgiveness of sin, you're not going to see the kingdom of heaven. And I don't care what country, landmass you were born on.
Dale, thanks, somewhere Dale. In the scripture, which I don't have in front of me, but I could dig it up. The Bible says it would be better for you. Jesus Christ said it would be better for you that you would put a millstone around your neck and throw yourself in the deepest part of the ocean than to mislead one of these little ones who believe in me. You guys know that Jesus said that? So let me ask you something out there. Those 1,000 pastors that went to Israel, is God more concerned about the treatment of Israel or the unborn babies that are being slaughtered? I'm waiting.
And coach, if I could respond, it's such that's such a fine line. I think there's something there of Israel spiritually, but it really is not of Israel. It's of the city of Jerusalem. It is of the city of Jerusalem, but that's geography. It's not a person. It's geography. In other words, when he comes back, coach, which he will.
The kingdom's within, by the way. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, of course it is, brother. If it's not, then we're not winning any battles. But Jesus is coming back to a geographical place to start with, and every eye is going to see him on that day. But as in a people, coach, I'm going to tell you something. As of now, after Christ died and rose, man, let me tell you what, everybody needed to get saved. When you look at the Acts, let's just go back to the first church in the book of Acts. Peter preached his first sermon to Israel, who were gathered because of the Pentecost and all of that, and people were getting saved. Who were those people, coach? Those were Israelites from all over the nations. Let me tell you what, if you're an Israelite, if you're a Jew, you need salvation. The book of Acts absolutely clearly points it out.
There's one way to heaven. Does anybody know what that one way to heaven is? Anybody have any idea?
John 13:6.
What is it? What's the one way to heaven?
The door is Christ.
I am
Christ.
The way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me, coach. That was Jesus Christ.
Meaning it's not bloodline? It's not bloodline? I don't make it in because I'm a Melungeon? No. I have to be born again. I have to be washed with his blood. That's the only way I get in. And are you to believe that the people in Israel are getting in because of the bloodline? Folks, that's antithetical. The gospel. It doesn't line up. And I'm not talking about anti-Semitism, right? I hope every one of those Jews gets saved. I pray they all get saved.
Coach, if I may.
Yes.
Anybody ever comes to you and says those things again, you know, they always have this good angle. Take them back to the book of Acts. Take them back to chapter 2, right? The birth of the church, and ask the question, Who was Peter preaching to on that day that 3,000 people got saved? And he preached every single day afterward, and it says, and the Lord added to the numbers every day. My question is, if the Jew don't need to get saved, who was Peter preaching to in the first church?
Getting saved. Getting saved.
Boom, and Dale. It says their hearts were pierced, and they said unto Peter, what must I do to be saved? And Peter said to him, repent, every one of you, right? Confess your sin and be baptized in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. That was to the Jews right there in Jerusalem.
So they all might as well run everybody off. So somebody help me out here. Yeah, I'm not going to say it. Go ahead, Jeff. Go ahead, Jeff. Klein, come on in, Jeff.
Coach will share this quickly.
Hey, Jeff, hang on. Hang on, Jeff. Yep. People getting nervous. Go ahead.
All right, just share this real quick. You know my mechanic there at the shop. His nickname's Monkey.
Yeah.
That's been for 5 years. About 3.5 years ago, 4 years ago, whatever it was, he got that lymph node cancer and all his lymph nodes on his body. He told him, he said, get up here now. You're going to die. So he went through it. God did all the treatment. We stuck with it through him. I had him for 5 years as a mechanic. Now, this boy wasn't a Christian. He wasn't going to church, never going to get married, never going to have kids, just a redneck mechanic. You know what I mean? Big trucks, jacked up tires. So we go all through this with him for years. Well, Sunday, I got a message from him, a text. We're still in contact. I've been in his shop now in the last 2 months. I've been there 3 times. He's got my big sign hanging up in his shop, JC's Autos, just stuff. You know what I mean? And people used to ask him years ago, why do you work for that idiot? How can you stand that, listening to him about Jesus and this and that? But he enjoyed it. You know what I mean? I got to go to his wedding a year ago, pray with him at the back of his little hot rod car with a Bible on his trunk before they walked up to the pond to get married, pray with him, read scripture. And just a great kid. So Sunday, he texted me this message. First message was, by the way, 2 year anniversary of my cancer-free diagnosis. I said, today? He said, yes, sir. 5.5 years since I got sick.
Wow.
So I texted him back. I said, thank you, Jesus, in capital letters, exclamation points. He texted me back then. Here's what he said. Thank you, JC and Jesus. Might not be here if it wasn't for an octagon picnic table at the car lot with a prison preacher on the phone. There's only one person that could have set that up, and that is you. I said, amen. And then Mary Jane told him, she's thankful you are here and you've been a blessing. But you know, he referred to Pastor Bill as the prison pastor.
And that's something.
We led him to the Lord at that picnic table there. Now he's not in church, you know, but the boy stays in contact with me every other day still, sends me pictures of his little boy. You know what I mean? He's loving life.
Amen. Amen. I'll get you, Glenn, just a second. How many of you out there believe there's only one way to heaven? Why do we believe in an exception? Why do we believe in an exception for some people who were born Jewish? Is there an exception for them? I want them all to be saved. I want all of Israel to be saved. But I want you to understand this. The Bible says God will bless those who bless Israel. That's what they tell us. Let me ask you something. Does America seem to be blessed to you? How much in debt are we? How many babies are we murdering? Is that a blessing of God? Really? I don't know. Maybe we need to send more money over there, I guess. Maybe we're not blessing them enough. I don't know. Who told you that? And why do you believe him? Come on in, Glenn. Oh boy, there! I feel you getting ready to leave. I feel you getting ready to leave. Stepping on your. Go ahead.
Don't be so easily offended. I find it ironic that here that the people in Israel are demonstrating against Netanyahu and the Zionist government. And here Netanyahu is making a pitch to the pastors for them to rally support for their government.
Not to stop killing the babies, Glenn.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Jesus. You know, Karina and I were recently had dinner with a missionary and his wife, and he was telling me a story that he and his wife went not recently, a couple of years ago, they went to Israel when their son graduated from high school. They took him to a trip to Israel, and they weren't on a tour. They weren't just driving around, and they accidentally drove into Palestine. And he said, I didn't think I was going to get out. There were machine gun IDF forces all around. He says, I got in there, and I didn't think I was going to be able to get out of there. That's what's happening in Palestine, okay? It's
which is Christian,
plus,
right?
Yeah, plus, Christian. Look at what's happened. There are people, the reason that people are demonstrating here in this country is what the Israeli government did in West Bank with killing all those people. Yeah, okay, they went after Hamas, but they killed women and children who, you know, many of them were Christians. So, you know, the Israeli government is trying to fight, they're creating propaganda to try to fight back and create support for Israel and for what they're doing.
Hey Glenn, let me, very simple, well, I'm sorry. You think Netanyahu loves Jesus? And there's 1,000 pastors over there with Netanyahu thanking them? And he don't love Jesus. In fact, truth probably be told, he probably hates Jesus, probably. And then all 1,000 pastors, probably paid for by Israel, I would imagine. All those pastors get to go on a vacation to the Holy Land.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Some of those pictures that you showed, it was obvious to me that those pastors were touring around Israel. Yeah. So they were being wined and dined and toured, and you know,
it's amazing. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. No, nobody. Ain't nobody getting there by their bloodline. Ain't nobody." Nobody. If you believe that somebody's going to get to heaven because of the bloodline, you deny the gospel, folks. You say, well, God's chosen people. Well, what? I'm second class? Huh? I'm second class Christian, huh? Folks, the logic of what we believe doesn't even make sense. Joe Allen.
Can I throw a butt in there?
Yeah. Hey, remember, Joe said it, not me. Go ahead.
So, I understand what we're talking about, but it's the left hand. Look at the left hand, not the right. So, they do have an agenda of what they're doing. But what is going on in the United States that is starting to be a problem is Muslims.
Joseph, I got a link I was going to play. I don't know if I'm going to do it.
Yeah, so there's a butt there.
Yeah, well, we're being distracted. Right?
What do you say, Coach? Keep an eye on them.
Keep your eye on. Okay, hang on. Since Joseph said it, Spencer, go ahead and pull that one up there. Where is it? I'm all discombobulated here. Spencer, pull up number five. Pull up number five real quick. How much time are you? Oh, I think we got time. Bradley Dean, Muslim infiltration, what the mainstream media isn't telling you. Well, scroll down. I think there's a video to play. Go ahead, play it.
Today's the day to plan tomorrow's adventure and make it worth the wait.
There's so much to see.
Minnesota. Today is the biggest religious holiday in the Islamic world, and many Muslims here in Minnesota are celebrating by spending at least part of their day here at the Mall of America.
In America, we have come up to a crossroads of
the chat. Put it in the chat. Remember, the Lord says he'll send a strong delusion that will believe a lie. And while we're focused on Israel, what's going on in Israel, the Muslims are sneaking in right under our chins. Minnesota, I told you, we went up there. We staked it. Minnesota, Minneapolis, the Muslims own Minneapolis. Coming to a village near you, by the way. And so then Trump wants to, what's Trump want to do? He wants to get rid of all those Somalians. Well, somebody help me. Would those be Muslims? Martin, out there in Springfield, are those Somalians Muslims, Martin?
That I don't know, Coach. I do know that there are some saved Christian Somalians, but I think predominantly, sir, they are.
I think so.
I think predominantly.
Right? Huh? So what? God would, because we rejected the truth, God sends a strong delusion. Look over here, look over here, look over here, look over here. And here they come in, man, sneaking all around us. And Trump goes out and blows up a boat of them. That's a different thing. It's the same idea. And we're more upset about that than the murder of unborn babies. You tell me we're not distracted? You tell me there's something crazy ain't going on? And I'm not here today to destroy your beliefs. I'm here to sharpen it. I'm here to sharpen it. You believe what you want to believe, but you know this. I presented evidence to you today. You're going to have to deal with it. You're going to have to deal with it. And I would say this. Anybody, you can disagree all you want to. Is the Middle East draining the wealth of America? Yes or no? Is the Middle East draining the wealth of America? And if it is, why? Because yep. I thought we were supposed to be blessed. I thought we were supposed to be blessed. Instead, we're impoverished. Strong delusion. They believe a lie. Come on in, Jack, quickly.
Yeah, all by design, Coach. I just wanted to put a word of caution out there. We're all word people here, and so when you use some of their terms to justify your position, when they say Palestinians, the Christians in Palestine, what they're really saying is those are non-Muslims. They're not talking about Christians. They're talking about non-Muslims. So when you use their terminology, you're promoting a false narrative.
Amen. Amen. Good point. They're not all Christians in Palestine. Go ahead, Martin.
Thanks, Coach. Yes, I just wanted to say, if everybody would open up your Bibles to Deuteronomy 28. I know we don't have time for the producer to put that up, Coach. But everybody, please read that. That's straight from God's mouth to our ears and to Israel themselves. So if you would like to hear God's take on what's going on with Israel, you might want to read that. Because it's straight, coming straight from the Father. Thanks, Coach.
Deuteronomy 28. Yes, sir. I got a minute. I got a minute and a half here. Hang on here. So, Paul said, do I now become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Google that, Spencer. Google that.
Galatians 4:17.
For all of you out there and all this, the things that you're going to say, I am not anti-Semitic. I do not hate Jews.
He is
I
not.
I don't hate Israel. Stop that. Stop accusing me of terms that the media planted in your head.
Amen.
You're playing their game. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? By the way, what was Paul saying to Galatians? He was saying to those who were Jews, you got to come to Christ. You got to come to Christ. Your bloodline ain't going to save you. You got to come to Christ. Do I now become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Folks, there's nothing new under the sun. Nothing new under the sun. An unsaved American, an unsaved Jew, and an unsaved Muslim ain't none of them getting into the kingdom. See you tomorrow.